Hey everyone, ready for another deep dive? We're tackling a big one today, evolution. Yeah. But not the usual stuff, not just survival of the fittest.
Right, exactly.
We're going beyond that. Our sources this time, they've got some seriously mind-blowing stuff about the role of pure chance in how life turns out. Like, get this, counterintuitive stuff, even. Ready to have some assumptions challenged?
I think so, yeah. What always gets me is how evolution, it's not this straight line upwards, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's messy, full of weird turns, random stuff happens that throws the whole direction off. And those chance events, those can completely rewrite the future for a species.
Okay, so speaking of chance, can we talk about founder effects and what were they? Population bottlenecks. I was reading about that. And wow, just random events that shake up the genetics of a whole population.
Imagine this, a whole city, right?
Mm.
People from all over. Tons of different genes in the mix.
Okay.
Yeah. Now take like a tiny handful of those people, random, doesn't matter who, ship them off to start a new world. What they're carrying, gene-wise, it might not be the best genes, might not even show how diverse that original city was, right?
Makes sense, yeah.
That's founder effects, bottlenecks. It's like evolution spun a roulette wheel with all our DNA on it.
And the thing is, that analogy, it's not just some abstract idea. This happened to us. Homo sapiens, right here.
Oh, absolutely.
A million years ago, there were just 1,280 breeding individuals. Like, that was it.
We were this close to never existing. A true near-extinction event. When you think about every single human alive today...
It's heavy.
We all come from that one little group that made it.
Yeah.
And even now, that bottleneck still echoes. Our genetic diversity, even how susceptible we are to certain diseases, it traces back to that time.
So something that happened a million years ago still affects us. Wow. Okay, talk about shakeups, the extinction of the dinosaurs. Talk about a chance event that reshaped the planet.
Yeah, it's wild, isn't it?
Hard to imagine them still ruling everything, you know? Instead of, well, us mammals taking over.
That asteroid, 65 million years ago, wiped the slate clean. And for our ancestors, the little mammals, suddenly there were all these opportunities, ecosystems up for grabs.
Like hitting the reset button.
Who knows what would happen if that space rock landed differently? What kind of bizarre creatures would be ruling the Earth? Really drives home how powerful these chance events are. Survival of the fittest, yeah, but sometimes it's just about being lucky enough to survive at all.
Right place, right time. Or I guess wrong place for the dinosaurs in that case. But here's where it gets even more complex. Our sources, they point out how not every trait we see, not every adaptation, actually gives a survival advantage.
Exactly. Evolution isn't about being perfect, just about being good enough to survive and reproduce. And that, well, that leads to some pretty fascinating quirks along the way, like non-adaptive traits.
Wait, so traits that stick around even if they don't really help? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, it's like evolution doesn't always clean up after itself perfectly, you know?
Yeah.
Especially when you've got these smaller populations, chance plays a bigger role, and these neutral traits, or even slightly bad ones, they can get caught in the current.
Caught in the current, okay. Yeah,
yeah, like... Think of it like inheriting something from your grandparents, right? Some knickknack. No one really uses it, doesn't really do anything, but it's been passed down for generations. Mm. It's just there.
I get it. Yeah, those family heirlooms that nobody actually wants. And speaking of things we inherit, didn't the sources mention our whole vitamin C thing? We can't make it ourselves, right? Like most animals can. But humans, nope. If it's not helping us, why hasn't evolution gotten rid of it?
It's a great example, and it shows how evolution, it's not always moving forward, improving. Sometimes it gets stuck.
Mm-hmm.
See, we're missing a working GLO1 gene. That's the one that makes vitamin C. Way back when, our primate ancestors, they had a mutation. Lost that ability. Now, maybe their diet was fine, enough vitamin C around it didn't matter, but millions of years later, here we are, still stuck needing to get it from food.
So we're stuck with this, what, evolutionary glitch? Huh. Okay, so it's not always about getting better, just surviving, I guess. But speaking of genes, the sources also talked about gene linkage, and that whole thing kind of blew my mind. I always thought of genes as these, like, independent things, but their location, their physical location, that matters.
Totally. It's like, picture a chromosome, like one of those charm bracelets, right?
Yeah.
Each charm is a gene.
Okay, I like that.
Now, the charms next to each other, they're going to get inherited together more often, even if they have nothing to do with each other, function-wise.
So you might get a charm you love next to one that's kind of,
Right. Yeah, and in genes, that means sometimes a slightly bad gene can stick around just because it's close to a really good one on that chromosome. It's a free pass.
Yeah. Inherited together, good with the bad. Like, oh, I don't know. What's a good example? Like inheriting your mom's amazing singing voice. But also, She can't tell a joke without cracking up herself. You get both. Package deal.
Exactly. You nailed it. It adds another layer of complexity to evolution.
Yeah.
It's not about perfection. It's about working with what you've got, good and bad genes included.
Okay, so all this talk about genes and chance, it makes you wonder, how do we get from tiny gene tweaks to whole new species? The sources, they talked about speciation, and wow, it's even more intricate than I thought.
Oh, for sure. Speciation, that process of one species splitting into two, becoming completely different. It's a whole dance between isolation, adaptation, and just massive amounts of time.
Right, and you've got different types of it too, like allopatric speciation. That one seems kind of straightforward, you know?
Yeah.
The population gets split up geographically. Like Darwin's finches out there on the Galapagos Islands. Each island's different, so the finches on each one, they evolve different beaks to match their food, right?
Yeah, yeah, classic example. That separation, it allows differences to build up over generations until, boom, you've got distinct species that can't breed with each other anymore. And it's not just finches. The sources mention Hawaiian honey creepers. They're another great example.
Honey creepers? Yeah.
One common ancestor, right. But then they ended up on all these different Hawaiian islands, and now there are over 50 species of these birds, each one with a beak that's like perfectly designed for the food on their specific island.
Wow, 50, that's specialized. But that specialization, that makes them a little vulnerable too, right? That's what the sources were saying.
Totally. It's a trade-off. They're amazing at what they do, but if something changes, if a disease hits their food source, a new predator shows up. Being that specialized can backfire. Evolution, it's not about guaranteeing success forever, just about what works right now.
Huh. Almost makes you think about businesses, right? Like, if a company only focuses on one very specific thing and suddenly the market changes, they're in trouble. Like those honey creepers.
That's a really interesting connection. And it shows how these evolutionary principles are playing out everywhere, not just in nature. Specialization versus adaptability, it's something we grapple with in our own human endeavors, too.
So that's specialization happening on these islands, but then there's sympatric speciation. That's where new species, they pop up in the same area. Isn't that kind of weird? Like, how can you split up without any physical barriers?
It is counterintuitive, right?
Yeah.
But think about it. Isolation, it doesn't have to be physical. It could be about what the sources call ecological differences.
Okay, ecological, like what?
So say you've got these insects. Right. And they all eat this one type of fruit. Then some mutation happens and boom, some of them, they prefer a different fruit. Same area, but different food. Over time, they stick to their preferred fruit, those groups. They're eating different things. They're breeding mostly within their own group.
So even though they're in the same place, it's like an invisible barrier.
Exactly. And there are other ways this can happen too. Different mating habits, maybe even when they reproduce during the year. Anything that reduces the gene flow between those groups. Tiny differences, but give it enough generations.
New species. Wild. It really shows how evolution, it finds a way, you know? But all this talk about making new species, it kind of makes you think about the flip side. Extinction. This also said that 98% of all species that ever lived, they're gone now. Kind of depressing when you put it like that.
It is a sobering thought. But extinction, it's not just about loss. It's also about opportunity.
Oh, how so?
Well, every time a species disappears, it leaves this gap, right? This niche in the ecosystem. And other species, they can evolve to fill that gap, take advantage of the resources that are left behind.
It's like clearing out space for something new to develop.
Exactly. It's why we see these bursts of diversity after big extinction events. It's a reminder that evolution, it never stops. It's a cycle, creation and loss. Constantly reshaping life on Earth. And one of the coolest ways we see this is with homologous and analogous traits. They tell us so much about how different species are connected, you know, evolutionarily speaking.
Yeah, okay, break that down for me. Homologous versus analogous, what's the difference?
So you see a similar trait in two different species, right? Easy to assume they got it from a common ancestor. But sometimes evolution gets a little more creative than that. Like, take sharks and dolphins.
Okay, both living in the ocean.
Right, both streamlined bodies, fins, even similar colors, all perfect for swimming. But their ancestors, way back when.
Totally different.
So it's like nature went, hey, this body shape, this works for moving through water. Let's try with fish, let's try with mammals. Same solution, different starting point. You got it. That's analogous traits. Similar environments, similar problems. This also, evolution comes up with similar answers, even in totally unrelated species. On the flip side, you've got homologous traits. Those are the ones passed down from a common ancestor, even if they look different now.
Okay, give me an example of that one.
Think about the bones in our arms, right?
Diamonds.
Yeah. Now look at a bat's wing or a whale's flipper. Totally different on the outside, but the bone structure underneath, it's the same basic pattern. That's because we all inherited it from a common ancestor way back when.
It's like deep down, we're all connected on a like bone deep level. Pretty wild.
It really is. And it goes even deeper than that. You compare the DNA of different organisms and you see the same basic building blocks of life over and over. DNA, the genetic code, the same metabolic pathways. It's mind-blowing, really. Shows how interconnected all life on Earth is.
Wow. Okay, so big takeaways from this deep dive. Evolution, it's way more than just survival of the fittest. Chance plays a huge role. Not everything's about being the best. Sometimes it's about being good enough, right place, right time. And even when things disappear, new opportunities open up. It's this constant cycle shaping life in ways we're still discovering.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Evolution, it's messy, it's counterintuitive, but that's what makes it so fascinating.
Absolutely. It's a reminder to, you know, never stop questioning, always keep learning. The natural world is full of surprises. You just gotta know where to look. Thanks for joining me for this deep dive, everyone.